Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hello and welcome to Happy Foot, Sad Foot. I'm Darren Miller. I'm here with Vince LaRosa.
I'm Vince LaRosa. Whoa, you're going to step on my, you know what I'm going to let me in?
Yeah, I was like, maybe he's not coming in. Guys, you're seeing the first match back. We're getting the rust off just like the team.
Although they're perfect. Oh, they're still perfect.
Yeah.
MLS
I guess
record
not like the team. It's a perfect record. The best team in the MLS by record.
Well, but also, no MLS team has ever started seven season opener wins in a row. Like, that's a record. Seven in a row is a record.
That's pretty awesome. I'll take it.
It's kind of nice because, you know, you go into preseason, like we've said, you're hopeful, unless you're Toronto. Then you go into the first game, and look, your hopes can be completely dashed in that first game. But if you're an LAFC fan, at least for one more week, you feel like you're on top of the world, baby. Like, and that happens every year. It's nice.
That is nice. This is nice. I gotta say, this is a nice way to come back into the season. I don't know what it feels like to start a season on the down note, but
yeah, well, no,
this is very nice. This was a nice little.
I'm just gonna keep hammering Toronto. That's my go-to. That was
easily my favorite bit of the episode last on Wednesday. Oh man, okay, come on into the chat. Come party with us. It's a Saturday afternoon still. It's weird. The day game thing is weird.
How many fans, and you don't have to name check them, but how many fans did you see that maybe started a little too early and didn't realize that the sun kind of wears you out a little bit? Did you see any people dozing off during the match, or everyone was good to go?
Everyone was good to go. This was the fan showing was good. I don't know how I was not on the internet Uh-oh. Before, I guess. Now I am.
Darren's
I don't
frozen.
Know. Oh.
That means I'm going to have to What's take happening? Over if he doesn't come back.
Oh. And we're back?
Are you back?
What was that?
Hey, you're a little frozen. You're frozen there.
Ooh. I realized I wasn't connected to the internet. I wasn't on Wi-Fi. Oh. I don't know how I was connected. It was just the magic of victory that was connecting me to the live stream.
Well, I'm just glad it was me for once. So it was you. So I was holding the show for that tense 15 seconds that you were off.
15 seconds? Was it 50 seconds? It felt like 2 seconds.
It felt, oh my God. Like an eternity.
Incredible.
It was definitely that moment where like the backup announcer in Major League gets put in, and I was like, oh, like what do I do?
Speaking of backups, let's get right into the scab refs. What's our judgment on how that went today?
Not great. That guy was all over the place, as expected. And
yeah, well, I think we have to look at this relative to expectations, right?
Yeah, but that's the worst part, though, Darren. Like, it, obviously, you know, this is a pro-union show. If you guys mm-hmm. didn't know, mm-hmm. everyone in the chat is definitely pro-union. So that's one thing. Obviously, from like a moral perspective, we're pro-union. But on top of that, like, MLS doesn't seem to realize that beyond that, the next thing that needs to get better in this league is the refereeing. They've got great stadiums. They have great players. They have good coaching mm-hmm. now, good academies, I would even say the kits are great this year. Refereeing has been such a low bar for so long. And then to say like, well, we're not going to pay these guys. It's just going to get worse. And that to me is so short-sighted. Like you should be incentivizing good referees. And this is just, regardless of when they come to an agreement, it's just going to sour it more and more. Like who wants to be a referee in the first place? And definitely who wants to be a referee when your own league doesn't want to pay you?
Yeah. Just like you said, it's twofold. It's like, not only was it already a problem and it's only going to get worse. And obviously these refs suck, but like, it doesn't matter what the role is. You need to pay people a living wage and a decent wage for what they're doing for the quality of their work to be anything. You're paying these people an amount that makes it so that their lives must be so stressful that there's no way they could possibly be any good at their job. You know what I mean?
And so, and again, they need to get better regardless. But
right.
What incentive do they have to get better if they're like, well, we're not going to pay you.
Right. Just, you know, like travel all over the country and then some. Like, and just, also just like
just do have it insane just hours. Do it because you love it. Yeah, just do it because you love it.
You get to play the game. Oh, you don't get to play the game you love. But you get to be on the pitch, I guess.
Well, the best part is, too, if you are a referee and you get better, it's not like anyone's going to give you credit for it. They're just going to be like, yeah, finally, you're doing your job. So it cuts every direction.
Okay. Well, the match. What do we think? That was pretty fun to watch. I was lucky enough to be at the stadium. It was – the fans were dialed in, 3-2-5-2, of course. Great TIFO. Mm-hmm. They were on the whole game, as usual. I thought right from the beginning there was a little bit of rust, but for the most part, I remember saying in the preview episode, I was like, I just want to be able to see what they see on paper as the potential for this version of the team. And I feel like I saw it right away.
Yeah, there was a lot to like. It was a little disjointed. And look, I think there's a lot of room for improvement. But the one thing LAFC did really well, and they can still do really well, is they can still attack with that front three. They can hit space. They got off a lot of shots, especially in that first half. Second half, they petered out a little bit. But they were able to still create a lot of shots, whereas Seattle just doesn't. I mean, they had a lot. Let's be fair to Seattle. They had a lot of injuries. Their injury list was very long and to a lot of good players. And so Seattle was a little blunt, whereas LAFC, you know, they looked a little bit more cohesive despite all the changes. And then they just had individual quality. Like the Campos cross and Tillman's finish, that's a classy, smart finish to not like just try to kick through the ball to just get it, you know, in frame. And then obviously Bogush, the banger, like, and they could have had more. Bwanga hit
that was a beauty.
Crossbar. Yeah. So really, honestly, I'm not going to say that they're lucky, but they definitely exhibited much more quality, and that's what won the game. Whereas like the last 20 minutes were pretty nervy, and LAFC maybe was a little bit lucky in that regard. But still, they took their chances.
Yeah.
They were much better in the first half, and so they're deserved winners, I think, at the end of the day.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. Yeah, I wanted to maybe not yet, just yet, but I do want to get into like more tactically what you're seeing that might be unique or different this year. It does feel like it's weird. It's like they were playing well, but they were also kind of, I mean, it seemed like both teams kind of played it safe a little bit in the sense that they weren't getting sloppy as you might with rust, but it's because they weren't straying from the game plan. They were like really sticking to the X's and O's, it felt like, and not feeling like free to kind of elaborate much. And it felt like their shape was tighter than I'm used to seeing. And I think that was less that they're like totally on top of it and more that they were just like a little bit afraid to kind of stray from what they've been working on.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm going to be honest, that there wasn't really that much different tactically than what you've seen throughout. Like they tried to compact their guys to do that. Yeah, they tried to press, and they did a pretty good job pressing and counter pressing. They tried to keep the lines tight. I would say that their shape did get a little wonky at times, especially towards the end of the second half. The only real like thing that was different was the personnel, and in that you have a guy like Edward Atuesta, who now can help a little bit more and be a little bit more of a connector. So that was probably the biggest thing. That's the biggest change from last season, is you don't have to just rely on Ilya. You now have a second guy that can get on the ball and he can pass a little bit. He can create a little bit from midfield. Whereas LAFC last season, it seemed like get the ball to Bwanga right away and then see if that front three can create something. And they did that, Like they were still able to do that, but then there was a little wrinkle of Atuesta is able to do something, and then again I go back to Campos, like to get to the byline and send in a great cross. I love Cheeky Palacios to death, but it used to take Cheeky 10 crosses to get one of those right, and that was I think Campos's first cross of the game. Perfect.
That's
cross,
crazy of the season. Yeah, he looked good. And the, like you said, the midfield looked good. It's weird to like, this is not the game I expected to be like, oh, depth in the midfield.
Well, wasn't really depth.
Those are the starters. Those are the guys. Like, that's
sure.
It. Because,
sure. Depth within the starters. Like, you've got.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah, there aren't.
Until Ordaz came in, it was like defender after defender being sent on. So they had, there was not much depth.
I guess depth in the sense that within the guys on there, like you got two midfielders scoring. It's not just like, okay, they were able to stretch. They were able to like do more than I was used to seeing. Everyone was on. There's usually one guy off. And it's like, okay. Anyway.
Yeah, more with the ball. I think if we're going to start to get into kind of like our happy foots and sad foots, my sad foot was
that's where
defensively
I was going.
Though, the midfield didn't love it. They were chasing a lot. There was a, and while they were chasing, they were leaving big gaps between them and the back line, which was causing a little bit of problems early on in the game. And then LAFC wrestled some control with their goals. And then late in the game, it was very apparent, especially when Seattle upped their level with that new signing that they bring in De La Vega. Like once he kind of was able to pull the strings and bring a little bit more quality, that midfield was chasing a lot. And that's where I thought the shape got a little in there. But that's... I mean, I don't know how it can change, but that's kind of, you've got Tillman, you've got Atuesta, you've got, those are three guys that, you know, Ilya can cover ground, but he's a year older. Those are not necessarily three guys that you would think are going to get out there and get after guys and win balls in midfield. So LAFC is going to have to figure a way to kind of strengthen that and kind of bolster that area. Cause I think against a team that maybe had better options going forward, they could have gotten hurt. Doesn't matter today because they get out of it, and it's opening game of season. Like they'll figure something out. But I would just, if I have to pick a sad foot in a win, defensively the midfield and just being able to control parts of the game.
That makes sense. You cut out a little bit for me there. You mentioned, was it Tillman? I think Bogus was the third person you mentioned. I just want to make sure that's
no Tillman at Western. Those guys are not those three, Ilya, which were your midfield. Yeah, are not necessarily known for being like just dogged ball winners, which that's the balance. You got to find a balance, of course, but it's just they were there was a lot of chasing and not a lot of ability, and they were, the Sounders were moving them around pretty good.
Yeah, that makes sense. If we're starting with sad foots, I'll do a sad foot, and then we'll get our first caller who's been waiting patiently. I think my sad foot was, it's barely a sad foot because I think I kind of was like giving him this space to do this, but everyone else was kind of ready to go. And Buonga spent the entire game calibrating, which is kind of what I expected to happen. So I'm like fine with it. But if I had to pick a set foot, it was exactly what I expected to happen, which was like, he spent the entire game just being like, okay, right. Like really dialing in the accuracy that I guess I just need for next game to start where this one ended. And then I'll be cool. But I think this is what we're going to see from Buonga. That's what we always see from Buonga. He's going to take a ton of shots and one of them is going to go in eventually.
Exactly. Like Buonga is a volume shooter. And like, look, he can hit the ball. He hits a heavy ball and he can find corners, but he's not necessarily like a lethal shooter. He's just gets a lot of shots because he's so good.
It's a cannon, not a sniper. Okay. Let's bring on Joey. Welcome back to the show. 2024. Our first caller. How you doing? Where are you, in the garage? Are you at the game?
I should be one bar status, but my phone seems to think I have four. Yes, whoa. I'm fully in the garage.
Joey, four bars.
From the garage.
I'm sure I jinxed it. I'm sure I jinxed it. And Dan, man.
Well, as you keep walking, deeper into the garage.
Yeah, okay, good. It seems like it was right on time then. I was kind of hoping you guys wouldn't ask me on.
Well, then you should have kept yourself.
Yeah, feels amazing.
You stuck around and you just guilted
well,
us.
Well, it's one way to watch. One way to watch it is through the StreamYard. You know, you guys, I don't know, maybe I'll like have like a little X on my, you know, not for Twitter, but for like, don't invite me on the stream, guys.
Right.
Oh, okay.
The pure purpose of this. I'm stealing
you got to tell
number,
me, tell us in your name that you put in whether you want to be on or not. And then you can hang.
Gotcha. Okay. I'll tell you how many bars and then we'll make a decision. But I mean,
do you want to give us a set foot real quick?
Yeah, first goals of many. I mean, right? Two goals and we're spreading the love already. Maddie getting on the board early. with that fucking golazo off his right foot. I mean, curler. And Denis just looks like he's like one step that when he clicks, it'll be an abundance. It'll get the hat trick that Vince was calling, but unfortunately did not bet it or forget it. And that's my sad foot. Is, you know, like I wish all of the Happy Foot, Sad Foot family, I wish all of your guys' bets hit. So until then.
That's good. All right. I guess I have to agree. All we need is $5 and we can't get it. So that is a sad foot. Thank you for joining us as usual. I'm going to take you off here, but hang out. Yeah. A tough loss. I'm better than forget it this week.
I will say, Darren, and I didn't want to like point this out because I wanted to like use it more in like my takeaways that I'm going to write this week. I think I'm gonna try to bring back the takeaways, Darren. I've got some time. I'm gonna write
you
some takeaways. I don't know how long it'll last this year, but I'll at least do it for the first game.
Don't let us hoard you.
But one of the takeaways, and it played into your bet, it was a possible Hugo Lloris assist. And I thought Hugo was pretty awesome in his distribution, especially quick distribution of the ball. Like he got, you don't see very many punts anymore from goalkeepers, but he was like, I got a good punt on me and an accurate one. Bwanga's already running down the field. Let me get it out there. And actually, it was his distribution through the middle to Bwanga that ended up getting technical, is how they kind of got out of midfield and got forward. So although we didn't get to hit that one, I think you were actually much closer than I was with my hat trick. And I was pleasantly surprised. I knew Hugo was pretty good with his feet, but I did not know he was going to be this accurate in terms of distributing the ball and getting the team out into attack quickly.
I mean, I got to say, just in general, it was really nice to see. Right off the bat, you could tell, like, he's good. He's, like, there are no issues. It's the first game. Maybe, like, last quarter of the season, we might start to see his age, right? But, like, he looks real good. Not having any problems.
No, I really do agree with you because look, that like that first save, Jordan Morris is in, probably should score there. And look, he doesn't. It's not a very good shot. It's kind of at Hugo, but there was just a calmness. Like he didn't have happy feet.
Yeah.
He was just like, okay, I'm ready. Whatever happens, happens. Shoot, and I'll save. And that's like the sign of a really good goalkeeper. That's really confident. He just gets in there. And then he reacts and makes saves. That's a good shot stopper. And I felt that way. Look, we had another guy that was very good in Europe, not Hugo Lloris good, but Kenneth Vermeer was a good European goalkeeper. Never looked comfortable. And already within 90 minutes, Hugo looks super comfortable and super calm and looks like a leader out there too.
Yeah. Yeah. I really liked seeing that. That was solid. I mean, I generally thought everyone looks good. So that it's just nice to see that. I want to get into the comments here. There's a lot going on in the chat.
We made it almost 20 minutes without talking about what I think everyone wants to talk about. And it's split so far. Some people are loving the cornrows. Some people don't.
Oh, yes.
Much.
Okay. Let's do it. Let's get into it.
And I love me some Ilya Sanchez.
Ilya Sanchez.
I don't
want to
ever say anything bad about the man. But not my, oh, not boy. My favorite look. And as a guy that doesn't have a lot of hair, I shouldn't be talking about anything. But Darren,
I'll go ahead and do it. As a guy whose hair was approaching Ilya's.
Yeah. I mean, your hair's long enough to
I'm not
going to
pivot.
And you're not going to insolidarity?
I'm going to pass. It's a hard pass for me.
What do we say now? Like, Ilya keeps the cornrows and your hair is still long at this point and wins a trophy with cornrows, will you get cornrows for a day?
Yeah, absolutely not. No. You know what? For the show, I'm going to go ahead and say definitely not. There's no way. There's not a single scenario I could possibly think of. Like, at gunpoint, yes, I'll do it. It's not happening.
Like, I would say Travis is the one that would say, like, fuck it, I'll do it for fun. But his hair's not long enough. You're the only one. Like, it's either you or nobody.
No. It's not happening. I'm sorry. I don't know what I will say. I think there's been a good amount of changes to the squad, right? And I think, like you said, the game plan hasn't changed that much. So it didn't feel that different watching the game. But I would say the biggest change year over year is the percentage of unhinged hair on the team has skyrocketed over the offseason. Led by the cornrows of Ilya Sanchez, but we've also got a lot of bleached hair going on. Not all of it advised, some of it ill-advised. I like to stick to the rule where like there's one guy who has the bleached hair on the team, and like that's I thought supposed to be the limit. Like, that's the guy who's like going out on a limb with the hair, right? They're really going for it. There's a lot of different reasons why this could be happening. So I don't really know whether it's like a cool team unity thing or like, fuck it, let's go for it. We're like feeling good about this, or like, you know, we lost in the MLS Cup, so now we're just like unhinged completely and don't know what to do with ourselves.
Well,
but it's like, I don't know. It's something.
So Ilya has cornrows. Eddie has cornrows. At a certain point in the year, or last year, I know that Murray had cornrows. So it seems like you have to fall into one camp or the other now with this team. You're either team cornrows or team cornrows or bleached hair. Like everyone should fall in line. Like they got us to choose. You have to choose. There's no in between. I'm actually
the only scenario where cornrows could potentially be okay, and I don't know that it will be, but the only scenario I could think of where it could be okay is if literally everyone does it. And it's just like, we all lost a bet.
Yeah.
I don't know. Elia's just creating a little mountain for him to climb where he has to be so good he is still good with the cornrows. I mean, you see him talking. Like, I remember he's talking to his teammates. Like, I saw right in front of me, like, him trying to explain something to Aaron Long. And it's like, how does he take him seriously? He's just like, the guy with ridiculous cornrows.
Could you tell if Aaron's... Were Aaron's eyes continuing to float up through his hair? I didn't know what he was saying.
Yeah, like, yeah, man, don't worry. I'll take care of that, I guess. Yeah, I don't know. That's tough. We don't know. Maybe this is what he's doing for the season. Maybe it's just a day, right? I think Murillo also had cornrows, just less problematic, right? And Segura has had cornrows, gets a pass.
He had braids. He had like a little braids.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Because, yeah, they were flapping. Segura gets a pass because seeing him on the pitch was incredible.
With the big headband too, it is giving me like peak Allen Iverson energy. I'm not mad about that, but
yeah,
but it just doesn't seem to work. It just doesn't work for me.
Allen Iverson made it an okay thing to do, I guess, depending on who you are. But that was the 90s, man.
Drover in the comments saying Ilya giving Malibu's Most Wanted vibes. That's so on.
We danced around it for so long. Thank you for saying it. Yeah, it's rough, man. Oh, here we go. This is what we're missing out. Smalls Kenobi in the comments. Everyone mustache. Ryan Hollings said, sitting here all along, setting the right trend, and nobody latches onto it. All of a sudden, everyone comes in with this shit. I don't know. Yeah, we're definitely privileged from the results of the game to be able to be talking about this. I'll say that. Michael KB says, again, James Franco.
Let's be honest. It was a fun game. It was a fun game to watch, but it definitely was. It had first game of the season vibes. Like, it was two teams. There was a couple of errors. The game got stretched. It was cool to see, you know, obviously, Atuesta back. Interesting to see Bogusz play the nine. I guess that's a topic that's interesting. So
yes,
you have Tomas Angel, you have Nathan Ordaz, and Bogusz plays the nine to start the season. That seems like a statement there. Like, are you saying something to those two? Like, hey, you guys got to pick it up. Like, if you're like, you guys are the nines on the team, but I'm still going to start Bogusz instead? Or is it just because Bogusz is familiar with the opponent? I'm not sure. I mean, Bogusz did score. The last time they played Seattle home, Bogusz scored in the first minute. So maybe Steve something there. Yeah,
I don't know. Does this mean, like, did he pass the test? Is that what this is? Like, right at the top of the box, just beautiful, curled right into the
goal. I thought he was goal. Okay. There was times when
I don't know what this means now. Yeah, it depends on what Dolo was thinking.
He definitely created some problems.
It did seem like over the course of last season, it became pretty clear that Dolo really likes him. Like, he just seems into him. So, yeah, maybe he's just the guy to chase. Maybe it has less to do with specific positioning and more to do with just like guys he's confident in and guys he knows are reliable to get the job done. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that seems like a good thing to keep our eyes on. But yeah, he definitely came through. I mean, that was a beautiful goal. And I love seeing him push from the midfield. So this was nice.
Yeah. And it wasn't just the goal. It was what Steve asked of that position and what LAFC really wants to see is a fluidity and then the ability to like to help out in the buildup. And he was able to drop into that hole, he was able to receive, and Steve loves that he receives the ball, turns, and drives right at the opponent. And then he was able to lay off a couple passes, had a good combination with Belonga in the first half where they had a little give and go in the box. So he did some nice things. It'll be interesting to see if it's just a one-time deal or that's going to be kind of what we see more going forward. But like I said, he plays pretty well. He scores a goal. Like I would imagine that he'll start in that spot next week.
Yeah. I mean, I love it. Also, you got to believe that Ordaz still being young and Martinez still, I don't know, maybe getting his sea legs under him. Maybe they just need a little more time.
I mean, Martinez just got there like 2 days ago. So there was like, if you were going to see him, he was going to be in like just a cameo, like he was going to wave. I don't know. Well, it's just something to keep an eye on as we get more games. Obviously, they're not going to be playing midweek games, so there's not going to be a lot of rotation. Oh, that's why I think it's something interesting to keep an eye on.
You've never said anything more beautiful. They're not going to be playing midweek games. Oh, amazing. Yep. Incredible. What not an amazing many. Thing to hear.
Yeah, I think the first midweek game isn't until May.
Oh,
so we get to go through March, April. Yeah. What a breeze.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping. And that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
But that is a good segue, though, into Tim Morgan makes a good comment here. Atuesta looked like he never left, on the other hand, which was amazing to see. He fit right in right away. I saw him make a really impressive tackle right in front of our section. He made a really impressive tackle that was like he had to go around the guy, and it was basically from behind but totally clean because it was right in front of the line judge. Mm-hmm. And you could see the guy be like start to bring up his flag and be like, oh, I guess there wasn't a foul there. Okay. Like he had to do a double take to realize that it was clean.
Right.
So I just like technically seeing him up close, like he looks sharp. I don't know if maybe he is part of what you were saying was a little bit rough with the midfield defensively. That's something that I think went over my head and you would have caught. But yeah, it was great to see him. I think that also the other story here is like seeing him on the pitch, seeing Segura get some seconds. I don't know if we can call it minutes, but like there is an interesting mix of like the new and old filling the gaps of people leaving and Vela not being there. And like there was some nice little sentimental energy filling the time here.
Atuesta going forward, great. I mean, all the things we remember about him, ability to dribble in tight spaces, to get around guys, passing range. Like I said, it's not so much that it was bad. It's just like the balance wasn't right. Like the midfielders didn't seem to – they kind of broke their line too often, and that allowed gaps for the Sounders to get in and get at the back line. So that's something I think that comes with time, though. Look, these guys have barely played together. Atuesta has only been here for, 2.5 weeks? 3 weeks. I think that's something that they'll get better at. But yeah, there was just a little bit of chasing, and they didn't seem to have like a real cohesion in that regard. So I think Joey's asking, or somebody was asking, what's my rating for Atuesta for the game? I'll give him 6.5. 6.5, because okay. I thought he was pretty good.
Okay.
He was good. 6.5 is like, you're good, but there's definitely like, you can get much better. And so I'll give him 6.5.
Look, for all you guys just stuck with Fought Mob, those rankings don't mean anything. We need the Vince scores. You should be doing the alt ratings.
My bad. It was Daniel asking for the match rating too. So my bad.
Okay. Yeah, we should do that every week. The Vince numbers as a response to Fought Mob's numbers that are all, I'm assuming, completely algorithmically just shots in the dark.
I know. Now we've opened floodgates. Now people are going to start asking. Just one person is asking. Rancho wants an Oliveira rating. What would be your Oliveira rating? What did you think?
I'm trying not to get complacent seeing him just kind of be nice and quick and flashy and not do a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying not to get so used to that that I'm like okay with it. I'm starting to get a little tired of being like, oh, he clearly has so much potential. Mm-hmm. Where it's like at a certain point that gets old to not evolve. Sure. He did have some nice passing near the box. I don't know how he's not going to score every game, but
sure,
you can't.
But he missed.
Yeah, you can't
it's
not
just the all around
bring
product.
The context.
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't want to.
We'll see when we see it. I guess
5.5.
Okay. Because I like this. We got to keep
like you said. Well, no, like you said, he there was some nice dribbling on display. Physically, he is really difficult to deal with 1v1, and he beat some guys. But then it was like, what are you going to do after? What's the next pass? And then there was a few where it was just like, it was an easy pass, and he biffed it. So I honestly think 5.5 might be being nice. Like he could maybe even be a 5, which is just kind of average. Because like for as many guys as he beat, then there was a problem here and there where he should have made the easy pass or the easy play.
A smart choice, if you will.
Smart choice.
It's not going to happen. Not everyone can do it. You know, Mario Salazar says, can we get some prop ratings? How was the Falcon flight? Amount of pigeon on the field. A pigeon on the field, zero, gets a zero. A solid zero. A pigeon didn't show up. I don't know if he was eligible to play or not, but no sighting whatsoever as far as I know. Yeah, someone's got to tell. I imagine it's very difficult to get the word out to the pigeon, but someone's got to find a way to get the pigeon back here.
You have to send a carrier
I was stuck
pigeon
in line
to
for
talk
parking
to the
for a
pigeon?
Very long time. Yeah, I think so. You got to find the pigeon that is around, but not, you know, as skilled at soccer as the pigeon. And that pigeon can find a way to get the message out to the pigeon.
And Darren, pigeon can you rate the egress to getting in the parking lot today? As you were alluding to, you had some trouble getting there on time.
Another solid 0.0 on the parking. I was stuck in line for a long time, which is why I missed the other request here, which is the Falcon flight. I did hear that it was Chiellini, so that made me even more sad to miss it. And the first Falcon flight of I forget the new Falconer's name, but the son of our former Falconer. I missed it. I did get a chance to. So Alexander Abnos, who's been the U.S. soccer editor for The Athletic, who's been on the show a couple times, was in town on vacation and came to a game. So I got a chance to hang out with him and his wife, who were great. But they caught me up to speed on what I missed. They seemed to be excited about that it was Chiellini. That was their first time at the stadium, and they hadn't seen the Falcon fly before. They were excited about that. Alex is from KC, so he was a little shell-shocked to see the cornrows on LEA. I think he was a little bit like, oh no, what happened?
He's like, LA has changed you, LEA.
Yeah, yeah.
It would never.
You would think so. I mean, I would have said LA. LEA would never. I'd love to get the story. We don't know who's down there asking that question or afraid to, but I'm not down there. So, yeah. Did they show the Falcon flight on the broadcast? I don't know.
No, and they didn't even show any of the Chiellini stuff. I heard he was honored before the game and was also the honorary Falconer. I only saw that through LAFC's social media channels, which, you know, as a big Giorgio Chiellini fan, I can't get enough Giorgio.
Mm-hmm.
They did have the celeb cam going. They definitely were. Apple was keen to get in there because Edward Norton was at the game, as well as Tudeikis, Coach Beard. Will was there. Will Ferrell, as always.
I've heard of him.
They definitely got in there in the director's box and got those. I saw that Zach Della Rocha from Rage Against the Machine
was
down there in the field suite. So that's pretty cool.
Which was well timed, since the big promo poster was the Aaron Long version of the Rage Against the Machine album cover. Jeff Talk, I picked this up for you. If you're watching, I got one of these for you. I'll send it to you. A real mind fuck for you in particular, I'm sure.
Kind of cool, but can I just say, if you're Aaron, you're like, bro, you're going to put me on a Rage Against the Machine poster, can I not be the face of the white kid from the Evil Empire album? Like, are you not? I wouldn't be stoked about that.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. There's no one who could be in the spirit that choice.
Yeah, I just would have been like, hey, maybe we could pick a different album. You know, just in the spirit of what that meant.
Yeah,
what
that's what I was going to say. For. It can't be a different person. It has to be a different album. That's what it is. Because it's like, there's nobody. I had that thought too. I was like, oh, it's kind of weird that it's him. But it's like, I'd have that reaction to anyone. Who could I be like, yeah, cool, that guy.
Yeah, no one. You don't want to be the kid on the cover. That's the point.
Yeah. Don Garber? I don't know. Yeah, but it was a cool graphic, and it was cool that he was here.
They were confused on broadcast.
Yeah, what are their prop? What are their prop ratings? Can we come up with?
The TIFO went back up, and they were very confused on the broadcast. And they tried to make a joke. They're like, "Well, maybe LA's just worried about the fans are just worried about how the last couple of minutes are going." And I think everyone, I'm pretty sure everyone in here knows. Clearly, they put it back up so that it could be on TV because it's in response to the fact that they have been sanctioned by MLS. And they're trying to say, you're not going to bring us down. I have no doubt whatsoever that's why it went back up. It had nothing to do with the way LAFC were playing. And I wish that somebody would have informed the broadcasters on Apple. Or maybe they just don't touch it. Maybe just leave it. Just don't, yeah. If you don't know what's going on, maybe just leave it.
Yeah, what did they say?
They said, they literally said, they're like, oh, the one Brock Jake goes, well, I guess the 3252 are pretty confident because they're going to pull the TIFO back up. They're not going to watch the rest of the game. And then Taylor said, well, maybe they don't want to watch the rest of the game because the way it's been going. And ha ha, chuckles. And I was like, guys.
Got it. They're not quite there.
Everything that they do there has some kind of significance and meaning. Maybe just leave it. Maybe just leave it this one time.
Well, maybe they just weren't aware. Yeah. Freddie Dominguez, okay, Long had a good game. Speaking of which, how do we feel about this? This is my big prediction for the year is that Aaron Long's going to be on point this year. And last year's going to feel like a fluke. He did.
Good game.
He did give up the PK,
giving up a penalty. Yeah, but think about how that penalty happened.
Yeah.
He had to run from midfield to track down Jordan Morris, who's very fast. Like the fact that he even recovers to get in a position to make the play. And I would say if the referee has to watch it 50 times, that's something we could see. So you guys probably in the stadium couldn't tell, but the referee must, because they just kept replaying it on a loop, like the 2 seconds of him like kind of clattering into Jordan Morris, and he watched it at least 20 times. If you have to watch it 20 times, is it clear and obvious at this point? Well, then they can't show it.
They
to
wouldn't
you
show
guys.
It
but
on
what
the
I'm saying is, but what I'm saying, they can show it to us. They can show it to us, and we got to see him as he's seeing it, and he's literally sitting there.
Oh wow,
20, 30 times, just sitting there, and you're like, look, if you got to watch
it was
it that
close.
Much,
I did my little trick. I just pulled up Apple TV in the stands. That's what I do. Nice. If you hadn't thought of that and you go to the games, go ahead and do that. It's nice. Whenever you miss a play or something, just pull it up on your phone. Yeah. I was talking about that. Like not many tackles in the box are going to hold up under VAR ever. Like if you're looking at it on a replay, they kind of all look bad. At first it was like, oh, he like very nicely got away with that in a way that I feel like he should have gotten away with it, but like, it's just not going to hold up on a replay. And yeah, when you look at it, it's like, yes, I get how that's a foul. But yeah, I liked his game.
I don't disagree with it. I just again, it's the implementation of VAR. VAR is supposed to be clear and obvious. Like he should be able to run over there and get it done. It just needs to be quicker. All these things need to be quicker. It just makes you look bad. Not that they haven't made the referees look bad enough already with everything that's going on, but it just makes them look bad. I could see not giving it, but he definitely clipped him. But I mean, after running 50 yards to try to get in front of him to do that much, I'm not going to knock him for that. I thought he was strong. Murray was in and out, whereas Long kind of really stepped in and looked much, much more confident than in his tackle. So I think Aaron deserves some credit for this game.
Definitely. Yep. And Lizzie Moss, the comments, it's a girl making his return and looking confident was her happy foot. That was really awesome to see. I don't know how long it's been since we saw that, but that's like more reinforcements on defense. Oh, she also wrote about defense in general. Defensively, there was not a lot of cohesion of switching marks. I think a lot of that was due to Atuesta being a new addition and something that will get sorted with more reps. We sort of covered that, but that seems like a good point too. It does seem like the downsides of this match in general are things that are pretty easy to iron out with more reps. So that is nice.
Yeah, trust me, they'll go over game tape and they'll be like, guys, you're not in this situation. You're not in line when we need you to be a little more rigid. I wouldn't say it's easy to fix, but I think it's easy for them to point out and easy for them to instruct the midfield on. They're smart players. That's the thing. Tillman, I will say this, Tillman, Atuesta, Ilie, you would say are pretty, like, when it comes to soccer IQ, high level soccer IQ guys. So you would think they would be able to take instruction pretty well. They'll clean it up. You know, you have some guys out there. Look, like, do you tell Bawanga what to do? I mean, I'm sure he's got a high soccer IQ, but he's just so instinctive out there. Like, there's just some players that are like that.
Yeah.
Where these guys, I think they really think the game and they'll understand how they have to be a little bit better.
Yeah, that makes sense. Isaiah, I see you. We see you in the in the little waiting room here. If you want to come on the show, feel free to go off mute on audio or video, and we'll bring you on. I just want to make sure that you actually want to. Okay, yeah. Let's bring you on. Hey, what's up?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Back to the show, Isaiah.
Thank you.
What's going on? Were you watching on TV? Were you at the game? You got a Happy Foot, Sad Foot? What's happening?
Yeah, so I was watching at home on the Apple TV. I want to say Happy Foot, first off, was Atuesto's return. I thought he looked really strong. One of the better players in the first half. He really controlled it, like dropping deep sometimes, give the center backs options, getting out of the press from Seattle. And I thought a Sad Foot might have been maybe Kike Olivera's patience and composure and attack. I think he had some passing options in the first half, maybe on to Bouanga or Bogush from making runs, but he didn't really take it. So I think a little bit more composure there from Olivera could be good. And I think Lloris was like really strong. As Vince said, you know, like his composure, just standing still, not really like getting like and like showing any signs of like, you know, he knows what he's capable of, like his experience and all that. So I think he was really strong. Another one was probably going to be, Murillo. I think he could have been a little bit more like safe than sorry. Some of his like, he didn't really have like too many clearances in the game. That's what I noticed. He was leaving a lot of balls for Lloris. So I guess it must have been like a plan that they were looking for. It's like building out of the back with Lloris on those long balls, because he was leaving a lot of balls for, what was it? I'm sorry, I'm blanking here. Murillo was leaving a lot of balls just for Lloris to claim. As far as Nair Long, he was really strong, actually. He had six clearances, I believe. He's doing a lot of good things other than that penalty. But yeah, as you said, it wasn't clear and obvious because he looked at it about it like 30 times. And Morris kind of dragged the leg there, if you notice. It was like a small drag. So I was like, it wasn't clear and obvious. Let's move on here. But obviously the officials thought otherwise. So.
Those are good ones. Yeah, that makes sense. Olivera, I think patience and composure are the words that are like really good words to describe what I feel like I've been kind of like trying to find the words for with him. That's kind of what we're looking for.
Yeah, he's still pretty young, so we're still letting him find his feet. It's the first game of the season. So he took shots, which I like. But I'd like him to like find more passes there, making runs. Yeah,
I mean, that is like the downside of the double-edged sword. That is like the energy is so good.
Yeah, exactly.
But it gets a little, you know, when you get so trigger happy, it can be like, oh, okay, let's slow down a little bit. Yeah, I wonder what he's like when he slows down. Maybe it's a good thing. Maybe it's a bad thing. We don't know.
Yeah, maybe we'll see sometime in the summer once he gets his feet.
Yeah, I mean, if the game really does slow down for him, he the sky's the limit. Like, from all the people that I've talked to at LAFC, like they think from a physical perspective, like he matches well with any league in the world, and that includes going to England. And he's kind of a slight guy, but the fact that he has the speed to get, they think, and the strength to get through tackles, like in a place like England, again, that means sky's the limit for someone like him. But he's got to add goals and assists. It can't just be all potential, and that's kind of what you know. That's where you start talking about like a Brian Rodriguez type character, where like he has to make a sideways move and go to Liga MX to kind of restart and re-jump his career. So hopefully he figures it out. I mean, he has a full preseason now, and like you said, maybe in the summer, but maybe sooner. You know, he's just his first game, so
maybe next week.
Yeah,
maybe next week in Salt Lake.
Yeah, he had a couple goals in preseason, didn't he?
Oh,
yes.
Not remember, because LAFC didn't show too much of the preseason stats and all that, so.
Get at least this one. All right. Well, thank you for joining us on the show. Come back
again soon.
Thank you
guys for having me on.
Thanks,
Dave. Some great input there. Yeah, those were all solid. I'm looking at the chat here. Oh, yeah. So Rancho just pointed out best kits so far. I think I need to come clean here. In person, I have to admit.
They look good?
Both teams' kits look good. I've talked a lot of shit about both kits, both LAFC and Seattle. I've talked more shit about Seattle's kit because I think that's really bad. But I gotta say, they both look good in person. I don't know what to do. I'm here with my tail between my legs. I don't know if this makes me like totally sold. I think in Seattle's case, the white trim all over the place really makes it work, and it really does look good. It doesn't look as shitty as I thought. In LAFC's case, it just looks great. I think I think if you're staring at a still image of the LAFC kit, you're forced to just look at the incongruity between the weird collection of shapes that are all like asymmetric and strangely placed. And when you're like, when you're watching guys like running, you just like don't see that. And so it looks a lot better.
They're also incredibly fit good looking athletes. And so things all, I think everything looks good on most of those.
Yeah.
Guys.
Maybe it's just general attractiveness.
Yeah. I can say though, I do, the LAFC kit continues to grow on me. The one thing that it's not like a bad thing. Cause look, I love the LA logo with the, but that logo back that they, where they have a chance to put something cool there. Like I have LA on everything. Like, is there something else that we design? Like, could the wing? I know we've done I just thought it was an opportunity, something maybe just a little bit. A lot of things have just been safe, I feel like. Like, look, I love shoulder to shoulder on the neck tape, but like, new That's year, maybe there's something else. I mean, we've got a lot of other like go tos here. Like, let's not always just be. No. That's all I'm going to say.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. And I will stand by what I said about Seattle's kit. I do think it works more than I thought, but it still is. I said on the preview episode that someone threw up a 4-year-old's birthday party. I still feel that way. Now, I'm getting agreement in the chat on my own show.
There, I mean, it's busy.
This is people that, like, might be more inclined to agree, but look, it's
busy. It's really busy. Like, it could have cut down on some of the colors there.
Oh, this is a good comment here from Jose Galvez. Who looks more like an 80s movie bully, De La Vega or Seattle's goalkeeper?
The goalkeeper had the bolt.
What do you know about the goalkeeper? I was not expecting to see him.
Well, yeah, Stefan Fry was injured, unfortunately, for them. Like I said, they had a lot of bad. Yeah, for them, I mean, if it comes down to it, like, this is, we're talking about two of the teams that are going to be fighting for top of the West, possibly maybe even like supporter shield type things. Like, this is a big deal for LAFC to keep, you know, like, it's not home field advantage, but to get the 3 points at home. Like, Seattle would have loved to at least,
and for Seattle to drop it.
Yeah. But now, so LAFC, if LAFC goes to Seattle and gets even just a point, like, they'll be ahead in terms of what they did in head to head. So that's a big deal. But yeah, the goalkeeper, bulkier dude, doesn't look much like, just, it doesn't look like your quintessential goalkeeper. Like, you look at Hugo Lloris and you go, yeah, that guy looks like a goalkeeper. You look at that guy and you're like,
yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I guess I'll go with, I think I would go with De La Vega as the, if we're talking 80s movie villain, I think he did fit the bill very well. And he played like it too. And he was all cute on the PK. I didn't like
that.
He
was animated.
I'm not for it.
Yeah. He was very animated. He was up for it.
Yeah. Oof. Well, yeah. A good one. A good one to start the season. I think we needed this after the loss in the cup.
Sure.
Especially against Seattle. Very welcome. We're top of the supporter shield standings. Along with a few other teams.
Us, Columbus and Miami right now. Only two other teams. Which, that's who you guys all thought was going to be up there anyway. So let's just, we just end the season now. We did it.
I think it's a good spot to end. Both the season and the stream.
Yeah, we better end the stream before people keep asking to do cornrows.
Yeah, seriously, it keeps coming in. Miguel Lopez, huge win against arguably the most complete team in the West. Also, just adding the standard Dolo got the tactics wrong quote.
Love
okay.
It.
All right.
Got all the injuries, but good win.
Solid win. Yep. All right. That will do it for us. We will be back with another preview episode for the next match. If you made it this far, if you want to support the show, there's plenty of ways to do that. Like the stream, subscribe to the YouTube channel, subscribe to the podcast, review us, rate us, buy some merch. We got more merch coming. We can't give it to you just yet, but it's going to be pretty cool. Just tell a friend. Just be cool. Stay in the chat. There's so many ways, and we see you all doing it, and thank you so much for doing it. And if you want to go even further, you can become a patron, $5 a month. It's been really fun getting to see the, like, more private and sometimes more unhinged, sometimes less unhinged live game threads, and have a place to, you know, have a nice little private comment section to be going to anytime you want to talk about anything. So it's been really fun hanging out with these people again. We missed you all. We're so thrilled to be back. Travis will be back with us again soon as well. So stay tuned for that, and stay tuned for the preview episode. Vince, any other parting words, or are we bidding them adieu?
No, just I love you. Bye.
I love you. Bye. Love you. Bye.
The softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time.
That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.